This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. It is Monday. It is the 18th of March. Lots to do.
Did you have to think about that for a
I
second?
I had to think about it. Isn't that stupid? It just shows you how dumb I am. All right, let's get cracking. We've got a lot to cover this morning. There's plenty happening. First things first, I've missed out on a week of The Bachelor. How are we looking?
Oh, well, what an episode that was.
What happened?
So this was very saucy.
Yes.
So Lee, he's now kissing everyone.
Oh.
You know, he started out so slow. Now he's, like I said a couple of weeks ago, he's getting more handsy. There's tongue now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he had a date with Gina, who's on your list, Gareth. And there was a great deal of kissing. Then he had a date with America, who's on Leanne's list.
What's going
on?
No,
if you kiss everyone, you're going to get sick. Right?
You'll get the herp, but
no,
that's
but they
a
tell
story
you
for a
kid.
Different day.
So is he kissing everyone?
Well, he's kissing everyone he has dates with, okay, so which is understandable, but I mean, he's like putting two a day here.
I still think Gina is the most likely winner.
Well, if you look at the list, okay,
she's got media experience. She's very pretty. She's smart. She's not looking for attention. A lot of these girls are. She's kind of hanging at the back and letting him come to her. I like what she's doing. She's got a good gameplay.
That's the key gameplay, yeah.
Yeah.
So America.
These other sluts are just throwing themselves at her.
Wow.
At him,
wow.
Left, right, and center.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's try to keep it on the higher ground. So if you look at our list, right? So Gareth, you've got the Jizzers that are going quite well so far.
Yeah,
Josar and Gina and Jenna. They're all still in the mix.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This last episode, Kim and Shelley got given the arse. And they were both on my list.
Oh, Ben, and you were doing so well.
Yeah, but at the same time, neither of them were going to win, so I'm okay with that. Because I've still got Kelly and Edith on my list, and those were the two favorites from my five to start with.
You seem to have been a flag bearer for Edith for a long time.
Edith's great. I like her.
You like her? What is personality?
She's, what's his name? The Bachelor says so many times.
Lee.
He's mentioned many times how intelligent she is. But she is. She's intelligent
Leanne, you'd make a terrible Bachelor contestant. You can't even remember the Bachelor's name.
Yeah.
The Bachelor, whatever his name is. Leanne, I give you this rose. Oh, thanks, Dave. I mean, Dan. I mean, Pete.
You.
Yeah,
you with the teeth.
My name is Lee.
Well, if I was in Lee's position.
Of course. Yeah, Lee. Hi.
If I was in Lee's position, I would not give her rose. She has this resting bitch face like she will cut you in your sleep.
Edith.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. That's...
Yeah, and the scientist, Natasha, brought that up and said, you know, your facial expressions aren't great. It looks like you're cross with us.
Cross all the time, yeah.
Always cross.
And then that sparked a huge fight.
Who has Natasha?
That is Leanne. She's on Leanne's
list.
She's
the quirky scientist.
She's
so awkward, I can't see her getting very far.
No, not at all.
But that's just it, because she's quite unique. Like, she looks... Like, she just... When she was in that formal kind of way, she just looks like she hates it. She's so funny to
very,
watch. Like,
very
she's so normal
so.
And fantastic.
She's got like a half American accent.
Now, for anybody who is not massively into The Bachelor, what you've got to understand about this is it's like a microcosm of South African society in some ways. It lets you in on a big screen or a little screen version of what's going on in most people's lives. There are people we all know who are shy. There are people we all know.
Dating pools.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And remember, we're watching these dates unfold in real time in front of our very eyes, which is exciting. I mean, I understand why this show's been such a hit in America.
Heartbreak and all that kind of stuff. So Leanne's list has got Michelle R. So she's got another one of the favorites there, because Michelle R. will go deep in this one.
She was the one who right at the beginning made the
first
impression.
She was wearing the yellow dress.
She's a strong candidate, that
She's
one.
Going from strength to strength.
Yes. And then Leanne's also got Natasha, and then America, who's basically in the show for drama.
America, there was a whole thing about her diary going missing.
Which no one's seen, by the way.
No,
one
I'm wondering
hoax.
If it even exists.
It's a bullshit story.
It's just a content plug. It's like, okay, you aren't going to go in, but like, cause shit for these three episodes.
So they had the dog handling competition through an agility course.
What a great feature that was.
Yeah, I like that.
You like that, huh?
I just did, yes. But America won that, and so obviously won the date. but she came back from the date.
Is being a good dog handler a good reason to...
Well, it gets you a date, yeah.
If it gets
but then,
a date.
But then Lee said that her energy is all over the place.
Mm. Well, anyway, she came back from her date, and Nomtombi, who I love, I love her comments and her humor.
Yes.
She said, I've seen America being more excited over a cup of coffee.
Oh, wow.
And then America came into the lounge, and she said... I feel like he could be my best friend. I feel like he's not a one in a million man. He's just a once in a lifetime man.
Oh.
So apparently all the girls were laughing hysterically at her and she didn't get no other.
Well, because
she had just thrown herself under the bus.
She's just basically been friend zoned by her own words.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry about that, America.
Yeah. So then Nontombi's on Sia's list. I think she's got a chance to go to the semis.
I really like her.
And then Jacqueline and Michelle DP. I don't know, Sia. I think
anyone with DP in their name deserves a second chance.
For duplicity.
No. Oh, right. I thought it's not double penetration.
Not Durban poison.
Oh, okay. I thought double penetration. No, I was absolutely sure.
Michelle DuPlessis.
So, Sia, you say no. You're not so sure.
No. It's just not going to work. I don't see any of them work. No.
None of yours?
Mm-mm.
So who do you think's going to win, Sia?
Gina.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, you got to think that those are the... Michelle, Gina, Kelly and Edith are your favorites here.
Yeah, Kelly and Gina, I think, will make it right up there.
And Jazan.
Yeah, she's sure, but...
the name is
It's just
sexy.
That she's not as pretty as the other one. You know, when it comes down to it, she's got great qualities. I think she's really great, but it'll come down to those ones.
All right.
Because think, he's not going to have dates with the woman he doesn't like in the beginning. He'll have dates with the woman he wants to like.
Yeah.
So he wants to get that out of the way.
So he's just going to be firing women left, right, and center now.
Well,
that's what's going to happen.
He fired Kimberly Gray, who says, and I call her that because she's a blogger. She went on a date with him. They kissed. Yes. And then at the cocktail party, he didn't greet her. And she got all upset about that. She was like,
she didn't get a rose from her date.
I thought she was the prettiest
one. She didn't
one.
Get a rose on her date.
If I had to be on The Bachelor, I would have chosen her right up front and said to the others, okay, you can all go home.
She's like quite a hippie. She had a life-changing experience at Africa Burn.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? That's just drugs talking. You can turn her back from the dark side.
But
I
she said, this is not how a man should treat me.
Oh.
I'm very upset that you didn't come and say hello first. Anyway, so she's gone.
Well, I'm still keen. So if Kim Gray, if you can hear us, then you know
just
I'm around.
Your boy.
I might not be on a TV show anymore, but you can make your claim here. When she was asked how she decided to enter the show, she said, "I believe in universal synchronicity." So this plays into that hippie thing that you were talking about. I was traveling up in Joburg with a client, and we were driving into Sandton, and my client asked me about my relationship. At that exact moment, we saw a billboard calling for women to apply online. I laughed and thought it was a sign.
Well, it was a sign.
It literally was.
That was a sign.
It was a paid-for billboard.
Okay, I'm changing my mind. She's quite doff. So that night in the hotel room, I took out my laptop and sent in my application. I thought, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, well, then at least I tried. Which is the worst attitude to have about anything on earth. Well, I tried. That sounds, you know, all right, I'm off her. I'm going with Michelle DP.
Just based on her name.
For sure. All right, so that's enough bacheloring for one more.
That's your bachelor catch-up.
Well, at least none of us are out yet.
Yeah, completely out with the ladies.
I've got two and you guys have got three. But I've got two strong ones.
Yeah. All right, well, you know what? With the Eskom's load shedding on, who knows if we'll even get to see The Bachelor this week. So you just got to move on.
Just while we're on The Bachelor, quite quickly, Leanne, were you happy with the results of The American Bachelor?
I have not looked at it. I'm trying so hard to avoid it because I want to watch it from the beginning.
Oh. Well, did you?
So I
know
I don't know who
won.
No,
yeah. Binging
because it was quite an interesting.
I know it's
twist
controversial and stuff, and la 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 la.
Doesn't want to hear it.
No.
Yet. Okay, there are some real stories in the news, and we mentioned Eskom already, but I don't want to dwell on that because it is what it is. What do you want us to say, right?
Mm.
Carl says, look, I understand that you need a wide array of content types. The show needs variety. I get way too much time is dedicated to this bachelor bullshit. Please limit it to 6 minutes, is what Carl says.
6 minutes it is.
If we assume half your audience is male, then you're losing at least half your audience for the entire time of this bullshit segment. Please, it's enough.
Carl,
kind regards, Carl.
Very narrow-minded look on things there because there's different content offshoots from The Bachelor, different personalities to analyze.
All right.
Got to maybe be less of a dick about it.
Well, Sia is a big moisturizer, and it turns out that there's a new study that suggests moisturizing your skin could reduce the risk of disease.
And not just skin disease, massive, chronic, horrible diseases.
Good. I'm here for it.
Heart disease, diabetes, and even Alzheimer's.
Huh.
Moisturizing your skin can prevent those.
Sure, I won't dispute it, but okay.
It's a small pilot study, but they all start off small, and this is how we we get to the big stuff.
Sia comes in here in the morning. If he hasn't had a chance to moisturize, like some mornings he's in a rush.
Yeah.
It affects your whole day.
Like this morning, I actually had to bring my mobile moisturizing kit because I didn't have
his mobile moisturizing unit.
Yeah.
What does it consist of?
Oh my goodness. How many products are in there? I'll say give or take like 4 or 5.
Wow.
Just for moisturizing.
Just for moisturizing, and then there's everything else. Because this is, you know, you have to have a travel kit.
Sure.
Everything else. Word. I can't bring all 2 shelves worth of stuff.
Well, Sia, the skin is our largest organ, as we know. One of its primary functions is to protect our insides from the dangers outside.
Mm-hmm.
It can detect heat and cold and help to regulate our internal temperature and allows us to sense touch. But a group of researchers from California say they are focusing intently on understanding the role of skin in age-related chronic disease. So obviously, as we age, levels of inflammation in our bodies steadily increases. Mm-hmm. Scientists refer to this as inflammaging, like aging. Yeah.
Right. Sounds horrible.
Yeah. And inflammaging in the skin can affect inflammaging in the body.
Mm.
So you can even think about it as physically a barrier being broken. Like you think about people who have diabetes and foot conditions and things like that.
Mm.
If the skin is broken, it can cause a huge upset in the balance of moisture, hormones, bacteria inside the foot. And the same thing happens with skin. If we keep our skins moist, especially as we get older.
Did you just laugh at the word moist?
Yes, I laughed at the word.
Okay. You can't even say it.
No, I don't like it.
With a straight face.
A reduction in skin moisture allows small cracks to appear, which sparks the release of cytokines into the blood supply. So cytokines can lead to a whole lot of other inflammaging diseases in the body.
Jeez,
it all starts with the skin.
I'm glad I brought my notebook for this morning. I've got a lot of words to look up.
Inflammaging.
So, Sia, yes, well done. But you must extend that moisture to the rest of your body. You do you?
I do about twice a week, but that's when I have more time because...
Do you bath in milk?
Give me one day with more budget, I will. But like twice a week when I have more time because I literally all lather up and moisturize to the point where I can't do anything. I even have like a foot scrub that I use so I can't walk around.
So you
literally have to sit on the edge of my bed for a good like
10 minutes. Mummified in coconut oil.
Well, there we go.
But I'll be a good-looking corpse one day, or good-looking ash.
Well, the ANC's elders have asked anyone implicated in corruption, anyone who's behaved unethically, anyone who's lied under oath, they've asked them to humbly please withdraw from the ANC's electoral list. So there's a group called the ANC Elders. We're not exactly who's sure of who's in there and who isn't.
I was going to say, you know, the word or term elders holds people in regard and for wisdom and the greatness that they've done. Who's part of the elders, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's a story in the Daily Maverick this morning. And I suppose it's an indication of how the rest of us are feeling about the ANC at the moment. I asked at the beginning of the show this morning, if there's anyone, an ANC supporter, who can justify voting for the ANC when we've just had rolling blackouts for the last 24 hours, so many rolling blackouts that we've hardly had any electricity at all. And these comrades have been called upon to if they're on the list of potential candidates for this election, to say, you know what, I'm not going to make myself available because I've been implicated in corruption, I've been... you know, fingered in some kind of an irregular relationship with one of the departments of government or some kind of money that's gone missing. So I'm going to remove myself. Of course, none of them will. But at least we know that there are people in the ANC who are asking for this kind of conscience to be brought to bear. Well, and it's signed by Ghulam Abubakar, Nishan Bolton, Cheryl Carolus, Omri Makhale, Mary Metcalf, Murphy Morobe, Mavuso Msimang, Sheila Sisulu, and Tim Wilson. Those are the elders in question.
Pardon my ignorance. Has anyone heard of these people?
Yeah, I've heard of Mavuso Msimang and Mary Metcalf. Mary Metcalf used to be in Gauteng government. She was education minister for a while. Cheryl Carolus, we all know from Proudly South African.
Mm-hmm.
She was around for a long time. Well, the South African Tourism Board. But yeah, the rest of them, I've got to be honest, I don't really know who they are. So there it is. Those are the people in question, just in case you were interested. Other stories that we need to know about this morning, other stories that are in the news. Apparently, a big change in porn is coming.
Ooh.
Apparently, they're going to introduce...
How is it coming, Gareth?
Age verification is about to be introduced on all porn sites accessed from the UK.
So it's obviously going to spread to become a global phenomenon.
Right.
But, yeah, this is how this age verification will actually work. Because, you know, there are porn sites that we've all known from before, like RedTube, YouPorn.
Yes.
They've had to implement and come up with these sort of mechanisms of verifying people's ages. So,
because you don't want 14-year-olds looking on these sites.
Exactly.
Right?
So now when you go onto a porn site, if you're accessing it from the UK, and like I say, this will probably be implemented worldwide or in many countries, you get a blank page with no images on it, and the verification process begins.
All right.
There are a number of ways that it's going to happen. There's face scanning.
Okay.
Something called blockchain.
Yes, we know about blockchain, Leanne.
Vouchers from shops.
Yes.
Oh.
This is all how this age verification will work. It all comes as part of the Digital Economy Act and will come into force quite soon. The date hasn't been announced yet, but apparently it'll be around April. So under the Act, websites hosting pornography will be required to stop UK users from accessing pictures, video and text unless they can prove that they are over 18. This has obviously been introduced by the government as an attempt to stop children accessing explicit content online. But critics have questioned the security of user data collected for verification purposes. Because, I mean, if you think about it, up until now, would you have wanted a camera to see your face when you are about to watch porn?
Yeah. It will see like would someone you? With saliva.
Yeah, that's not the face you want people to see.
No, but just having your face, you know, taken... It's a private thing, you know? Do I really want a camera looking at my face?
No.
Especially checking you out just prior to porn.
No, that's horrible.
Leanne's porn face.
Age ID, it's a name, it's all in one word, has been the most controversial of the age verification systems.
Yeah.
It's made by MindGeek, which is the company behind Pornhub, RedTube, and YouPorn.
Yes.
Critics have questioned the move into age verification as they argue that there may be too much power and data placed in the hands of one company.
Ooh.
So your email address has to be verified. And then you have to choose an age verification option from a list of third-party providers. The options include SMS, credit card, passport, or driver's license.
Huh. Well, I don't think there's a problem with this. I think that's great. Who would be against this? You should be able to verify people's ages before they go onto some sites. I don't think that's a problem. Anybody?
I'm just scared of the information being used against me.
Right.
You know?
What, like what kind of porn you're accessing?
Yeah. You know how stuff gets
to your name and...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I've said it a million times before. Eventually, everyone's going to be naked online, and then it's not going to matter anymore.
It'll be like the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, we'll be back to that.
It's sad, but I think that is going to be a reality.
No, really. I think eventually people are just going to go, oh, well, doesn't matter. Right?
Maybe.
Talking about another type of porn, though, revenge porn. And Facebook is being kind of slimy again.
Oh, when aren't they?
They're at it again. They're saying that they have a new technology that they're trying to roll out and being able to combat revenge porn on the site. So a huge problem is, you know, people in relationships or somehow someone has your nude pictures and they want to get back at you and they're posted on social media. Right. And Facebook has seen a lot of these cases. And so now they're rolling out new technology that is being trained to recognize a nearly nude photo. And they'll be able to then flag this and
Are
be able
you
to
thick like a can of soup.
quickly take this photo down before a lot of people see it. Uh-huh. So now this means any sort of lingerie picture, any sort of bikini picture, any sort of guy sitting shirtless at a braai picture will be scanned through this technology. And if it is also has a caption that's slightly like derogatory or has explicit words, then it will most likely be taken down. So this is what this is what Facebook is trying to do, because they've also been criticized very harshly over the past couple of months because of the fact that they, compared to any other social media site, take a bit too long in taking down offensive posts. But this is what I like, and they were stupid in actually announcing this. They said that in the process of developing the technology, for a chunk of time, they considered this to be a better option. The better option being that users should rather submit their own nude photos to Facebook so that they stay on Facebook's bank, and that will make sure that should a penis that looks like yours ever come up on Facebook.
Oh, wow. Oh, penis recognition software would be deployed.
That's, somewhere, that's somehow, in Facebook's offices.
Imagine Mark Zuckerberg.
They thought that would be an idea to work.
Zuckerberg saying, I know what we'll do. We'll get them all to send us pictures of their junk.
It is so stupid.
What a creep.
I'm so glad they didn't go with that.
They actually thought about that?
Mm-hmm. They actually thought everyone should submit their nudes to Facebook and
dreadful people.
Then they'd be able to find something. So use it, don't use it. Any sort of semi-naked photo you post from Facebook from now on will be scanned by some sort of intern at their head offices.
Well, I mean, that's already happened. It happened years ago to Gareth on his Facebook. He posted a picture of a scene from Little Britain with the two comedians in naked suits.
Yeah, they were wearing like sumo outfits.
They were men in female naked suits.
Right, pretending to be big fat women. And
they're very realistic, the suits.
Yeah, but you can see it's a joke because, they, for example, they were like that on the cover of their DVDs.
Yes.
And I said, look at Leanne and Mabali, because one of them was black and one of them was white. Look at Leanne and Mabali, they've come to work to celebrate, you know, nakedness or whatever it was on that day. And I actually got my Facebook account shut down.
Well, it's because the guy looked like you.
I had to start a new one.
Because the guy looked like you, plus about 30 years.
He didn't look like me. He looked like an old man.
He looked like an old you.
You looked the most... the person in that picture who looked the most like one of us was the old man who looked like you.
All right, well, I'll repost it later. Make you smile.
At the risk of...
I don't care. Shut down my social media. Not interested. All right, there's other stuff that we need to pay attention to in the news. Mm-hmm. And we've got Chris Forrest popping by in a short while. I'm very excited about that. I love seeing Chris. But Swiss researchers have found that cheese aged to the sounds of hip-hop tastes a whole lot better. Is that for real?
You know, we've had this whole thing about singing to your unborn child, singing to plants, using, you know, does classical music work a little bit better than jazz? And researchers in Switzerland have found that cheese likes a little bit of music as well.
Cheese likes music, huh?
And true to form, cheese keeps it funky. It was supposed to be exposed to a number of types of music, and hip-hop came out with the strongest flavor and aroma. Well, so they played a variety of music to different wheels of cheese as they aged, ranging from A Tribe Called Quest's We've Got It From Here, and Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, Mozart's Magic Flute. The hip-hop sample topped the list of all cheese exposed to music in terms of fruitiness.
I don't know if that's the music. Could be a whole lot of other factors, right?
Could be. I mean, are they listening to the music when they taste the cheese?
So I was away in Europe for the last week, and the Swiss and the French like something called raclette, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they put a half a wheel of cheese on the table.
Yes.
It's like a grill thing on the top. And it melts the cheese, and then the cheese runs down, and you put it on bread or whatever.
But and it's smells, usually a soft cheese, like a brie or a camembert. It
smells like feet. It's the most horrible stuff, and it makes every restaurant stinky and smelly. Puts everyone off. Raclette. For some reason, the Swiss, I think they're the ones who started this stuff. You know, they like fondues, and they like all that weird stuff.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Makes the whole place smell like a gym locker.
I don't care what it smells like. It tastes delicious.
You know, the locker room at the gym where everybody takes off their shoes and some of them have athlete's foot.
Oh.
That's how that raclette smells.
Admittedly so, yes.
That's horrible. And people love it, huh? They all order it. You can see it's not tourists, it's the locals.
Ah, je voudrais de... half a wheel of cheese raclette, huh? I like this very much.
Terrible.
So the music was sent into the cheese using mini transmitters as opposed to loudspeakers.
Yeah.
The energy of the song's frequencies resonated inside the cheese, and then the samples were submitted to a blind taste test by culinary juries.
Sounds horrible. See, the point is that cheese is made by bacteria. Mm-hmm. Inside of milk, right?
It's all a weird process, but it's something you must not think about. Just go with the cheese.
Well, yeah, because who doesn't like a little bit of, good old Gouda or cheddar? But anything more than that's giving away. It kind of announces that it's pretty much suppurating.
Oh, no. I love a good cremazola or...
You do?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Love all sorts of cheese. There's not a cheese I don't like.
Have you got a whole lot in your fridge?
No. Especially not with load shedding. I don't have anything in my fridge.
Well, you could turn a nice Gouda or cheddar into a
gorgonzola in a minute.
Within a second of load shedding. Fuck.
Oh, it's horrible. And after we've been load shat and you open up the fridge and it's just kind of still in there and there's no light and it's warm. And you think, what about now that the cheese is going to get cold again, and is it good? Is mold and stuff happening? Oh, no.
Yeah. And meat. Can you imagine what that does to meat?
Yeah. Can't keep stuff in your freezer anymore.
So, thanks a lot, Eskom. And we didn't really talk about this much because it's kind of last week's story, but the Ethiopian 737 MAX 8 plane crash, apparently they're saying that a cocktail of a devil in the system, Uber pilots, and negotiable safety are to blame.
Mm. Uber pilots?
Yeah. Let me tell you more about it, Ben, since you asked. It's not that they just chose a pilot on Uber.
They pulled a guy out of a Corolla and said, here, fly this instead.
Yeah, exactly. No, what they're saying is that the former Inspector General of the United States Department of Transportation said in a CNN interview that the Boeing 737 has outlived its useful life, but it's been kept alive because Boeing has more clout than the FAA, and that's why it still flies in the U.S. Boeing 737 has progressively developed through various generations of models. The engines have become vastly larger compared to earlier models, which had small cigar-shaped engines.
Oh, cigar-shaped.
Later models have big turbofan jets, which had to be mounted in front of the wings. And the bottom of the engines needed to be flattened out to improve ground clearance. Now, the MAX still uses bigger engines, and these changed the handling and characteristics of the MAX compared to the previous generation. So for people who are really into aviation, this stuff is... this is what you live for. I don't know enough to be able to talk about this, but
apparently the pilots had to go on an extra course for this plane in particular because of the weight of the engine and the way it pulls down the nose, etc.
Right. So when they say Uber pilots, they basically need the best of the best pilots to fly these planes. After the Lion Air crash, Boeing recommended a procedure requiring the pilots to use cutout switches to stop the stab trim. Of course, you know what that is.
Mm. Of course, the stab trim.
That's what you get with the vents.
Yes, yes.
Mm. The airflow.
Yes, that's right. These switches do not turn off the MCAS system.
Mm-mm, they don't.
Yes,
tried.
Yes, which is currently believed to be the root of the problem. They merely stop the electric trim from working. Yes.
Yes. That's what I thought.
So they said the quality of the pilots in these two crashes nonetheless poses a real question. Boeing argued that simply switching the stab trim off is a basic skill required of all pilots in 737. So basically, Ben, to answer your question about Uber pilots, they're saying these need to be the best of the best. These pilots cannot just be your run-of-the-mill garden variety pilot.
Yes, gotcha.
I don't know if I want to be a passenger in a plane that requires a really special pilot. Just give me a plane that most pilots can operate. Maybe even a passenger or two if things get really difficult.
But this is the problem when you don't put enough time into your trim. Because it's 2019, a lot of these things should be semi-automated.
Oh, yes. They should be self-flying.
Because the MSFD doesn't switch off.
Yes.
This is where you just can't have products that are this labor-intensive in this day and age.
Well, there it is. By the way, I didn't watch any movies on the flights there or back.
How?
I fell asleep both times.
That's
exhausted.
Amazing.
Yeah. But I did see a replay last night while I was getting ready to go to sleep, and there wasn't load shedding for the short period that there wasn't. I watched Pride and Prejudice.
Nice.
Which was really
lovely.
That's with that guy, James Darcy.
Yes, Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy.
Mm. Yes, and it's got Keira Knightley in it, who always is grinding her teeth.
Clenched
jaw.
She has
an underbite.
Yes, just slightly underbite, yes. Mm. But Keira Knightley is very, very attractive, and she's great in that movie.
But she looks like a boy.
Yeah, you would say that. I know you don't like her. You've always been very mean about
people
her.
People with
you've
eyes always would had a say
problem.
That.
You've always had a problem with Keira Knightley.
She's just not feminine.
She doesn't have,
I agree with you, Ben.
She doesn't have great big boobs, is what Ben's saying.
Not just that.
No, it's her jaw structure.
It's that she
and
does
everything.
Look. She looks like Beavis grew up, said bye to Butthead, and then she became a movie star.
Beavis with the underbite.
Beavis. She
looks like Beavis.
Beavis.
Jesus. Unbelievable.
That's her written off. Oh,
right, now you've spoilt it.
I'm sure she's lovely. She comes across as a lovely person.
Now you've poisoned the well. It's
really.
All right. I want to talk about something. If you know us, you'll know that Ben hates the cups of brown that we serve here.
It's dreadful.
We all know it's a great boost to get us going every morning. We try to bring you the best show every day. Ben says that the cup of brown is the worst kind of coffee in the world. Thankfully, we've got some friends from Law. They are a new brand that's all about good coffee. In fact, see, I just dropped off on my table here.
A whole lot
of really good stuff. And for some reason, Chris Forrest is involved in this. Are you a big coffee drinker?
I'm a huge coffee drinker. I'm a massive fan
nice
of good
you,
coffee.
Dude.
Good to see you too. Yeah. Sorry, I just walked in and started talking.
Have a seat.
How's it, guys?
So we are big
That's
fans.
That's what we hope for with guests.
We are big fans of great coffee because life is too short to have a shit coffee, right?
Exactly. Oh. Like that is one of the crimes against humanity.
Well, we have that ground stuff.
I don't want to slag.
No, go ahead.
Is that even real coffee?
It's mostly mud.
Is it the chicory?
It's mostly mud.
Ah.
Comes in a tin.
Yes.
Which you have to prise loose with a chisel.
Not great. And doesn't really do anything. It tastes like coffee, but it's a...
It doesn't really.
I was trying to be polite.
And I've noticed it dissolves very, very quickly.
Because I was here, when was it? On Thursday.
Yes.
And that was part of the inspiration for...
So you came in for an interview. Were you on Alan Ford's show?
I was on Alan Ford's show, and I was like, ooh, let me have a coffee. And it was diabolical.
Embarrassing, basically.
It was. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to, you know.
So did they offer you a cup of muddy brown, and you said, oh, thanks, but you actually meant,
yeah,
you.
No, I finished it because I'm polite, but it wasn't, it was like medicine.
Shame, I'm sorry.
Well, you know.
So tell me how you're involved with Law. I've seen these pods in the shops.
So I've been doing a bit of work with them. They're a really, really cool brand. Mm-hmm. Just to tell you a little bit about it, it fits. It's 100% compatible with your Nespresso machine.
Very good.
The pods are made completely out of aluminium.
Oh, very good. Smart. So they're recyclable.
Recyclable and also won't damage your machine because, you know, you sometimes get those plastic ones that...
Yes.
So, and the other thing, the most important thing, is it is a gold standard espresso, which makes it delicious.
Really? What is a gold standard espresso? What does that mean?
That means that in Europe, they give them standards. In South Africa,
so it's like
we don't have standards.
A Michelin star restaurant.
Pretty
this
much.
The
in South Africa,
stars.
We don't have standards.
No, we don't, because people will drink anything here. I mean, really, I've been to some fairly sophisticated places in terms of corporate South Africa, and they will often offer you a cup of brown.
They often do, and it's not always great. And then you have to pretend.
Yeah, which we don't have to do anymore, thanks to you.
Nothing worse, because a cup of coffee is not like water, which you can just leave it or drink it quickly. Coffee sits there and lingers. So when it's bad, it's just like...
It looks at you.
It's like someone's broken wind, and it's like, that's going to stick around for a bit.
But the other thing is now, because somebody's made the effort of spooning rubbish into a cup and then adding boiling water and milk. They've made effort, so you can't just not drink it. You can't be like, have a sip and go, ooh, I'm not going to finish that. So you have to like, thank you.
No, you don't see half-drunk cups of coffee lying around, you know?
And then there's even those weird people who go, ooh, you make a good cup of coffee. And you're like, no, you don't. It's instant.
Don't endorse this behavior.
It's chicory and it's horrible.
What is chicory? Is that like when they take coffee beans?
They molest.
And they use like 2% of it.
It's basically when you've given up on life.
Chicory.
And you don't know any better. I mean, there are people who don't know better.
Oh. Look, I don't drink coffee at all. It gives me migraines and stuff. But I can even smell a cup of brown is totally different to this type of stuff.
This is very good. All right. So what kinds of, because they're different flavors, right?
Well, it's the different intensities. Okay. So they do have hints of them. You can read.
So here's a Forza. That's intensity 9. That'll put
hair on your chest. The Ristretto is the really strong one. That's
11.
Mm-hmm.
11 out of 10?
11 out of 10. Do you know how that will get you firing out of the gates?
This one goes up to 11.
Sure. That is like Spinal Tap, where they turn it up to 11.
11. But it's really, really nice.
And if you're having a slow start to your day and you have some of that,
I promise you, you're going by then.
Right.
Yes.
So, okay, you said you're a major coffee guy, but do you, because you wake up, I would imagine, a little bit later than most of us, because you do.
No. I have children.
Oh, God. Right. I was just thinking in terms of the job. But
There was a time when I had that luxury, but kids don't care. In fact, there's some sort of algorithm in their heads where the later you work, the earlier they wake up. And it also works the same with the amount of alcohol you consume.
So tell me quickly, with these things, do you have a machine at home?
I do indeed have a machine at home.
And you use these pods and you put them in and then it makes these beautiful cups of coffee. And do you have a lot in a day or do you just have one?
I'm a bit of an addict, so I have a few in a day.
How many is a few?
I'd say between, depending on, because I like to drink coffee when I'm doing writing work.
Okay.
So I'd say if I'm very busy, maybe 6 or 7.
Sure. That's quite a lot, Chris.
It is quite a lot, but it gets the creative juices flowing.
Well, you probably have to go to the loo quite a lot as well.
Is that how you've lost the weight?
Diuretic.
Busted.
There we go.
No, it's not the coffee. No, actually, if you wanna know, I'm gonna start getting my Tim Noakes on here, and I lost the weight with the banting. So
did you really?
Yeah. So what I do in the mornings actually is I've got MCT oil. So I start with a cup of coffee with a teaspoon of MCT oil, and that'll keep you going for the entire day.
Shit.
You don't need to eat or anything. It's brilliant.
Sounds amazing. All right, so the machine that you're putting in here for us is actually provided by Syro. They're the professional partners.
Yeah.
And they're in the business of selling coffee. You guys who make this law, this is actually in the Doe Egberts family, right?
The JDE folk. The people who bought you Jacobs or Doe Egberts.
Nice. Those are the best kinds.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay, so it's biodegradable.
It's recyclable. I don't know if it's the same thing. You're far more intelligent than me. So
aluminium capsules, so you can turn those into other useful things in aluminium, probably recycle them into other capsules.
You can even take them to America and sell them as aluminum.
Aluminum, that's right. That's right. Nespresso compatible, ethically sourced, so you don't go around squeezing the coffee farmers.
Well, yeah, there's no like sort of small children who've been beaten to harvest beans. It's once again a European thing. It's not big here. It's UZT, which means it's completely ethical. There's no slave labor or anything. They sourced all over the world. They made sure the best Arabica beans.
Well, that's very nice of them, because I really don't mind a bit of slave labor. They're going a bridge too far for me there. But wow,
The guys working here will attest to that.
Were any monkeys forced to poop in this process?
No, because that's really weird. Ever like looked at that coffee and gone, man, I wish I'd had coffee that had passed through the digestive system.
No. Says no one American ever.
I've tried it once. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Actual coffee or?
Yeah, the monkey poop coffee.
And
isn't it called Alua or something?
Alua would be a good name for it.
Aluak something.
I can't remember.
Okay, this is just normal coffee.
This is normal coffee. There are 10.
Well, it's exquisite coffee.
Six variations. They're available in most retailers. So you guys sell in Spa, Pick and Pay, Checkers.
Well, that's the cool thing, is you don't have to sort of drive. You don't have to pack a lunch to drive to a boutique store to get it.
I mean, do me a favor. Isn't that annoying?
It's right there. I think it's in all good supermarkets and some average ones.
Okay.
Most average ones.
I like this very much. This sounds good. So how are things otherwise, Chris? What are you up to?
Things are good. Right now, I've got a bunch of projects on the go. I'm actually off to Otwin on Wednesday to do a little thing at the Car Kind Carl.
Yes.
Actually working with these guys there as well.
Tell me quickly, what were you here to talk to Alan about?
We did this RADA taxi dash.
Tell me what that is.
RADA is a rape, alcohol, and drug abuse. So they were
heavy.
Well, they were a charity foundation that started to combat rape, alcohol, and drug abuse, and then they've sort of branched out. So they're doing other things. So one of the kind of awareness raising exercises that they did was they got us all to catch a taxi from Bryanston, and then we had like an amazing race kind of thing where we went around Johannesburg to get to a destination with a couple of little curveballs in between, which included jumping off a large tower with an elastic band tied to your legs.
God.
I know. I was like, why? What is the point of this? And then the like competitor in me just wouldn't not do it. So in order to save myself 20 minutes worth of time, I risked death.
You bungee jumped.
And then it took me 20 minutes standing on the platform going, no, I'm
where
not
did
doing
you,
it.
Where did you bungee jump?
The Lando Towers.
The place in Soweto. Four Ways.
Oh, in Four Ways. Mm. Oh. That's from that that platform. They've got it on a crane.
Yeah.
Scary?
You know, I never used to be scared of heights, and then I did the Blowcrantz bungee, and then I was like, oh, falling to your death actually is quite
fun.
Quite scary, yeah. So, and then at least there's a gushing river below you, whereas at Four Ways there's sort of fake grass and yellow umbrellas.
And one or two drunk people left out from the night
and
before.
And Friday vomit. And don't forget the Friday vomit.
Yeah, Friday. So I was kind of, I tried to back out of it, and I said to the guy, have you ever, do you push people if they're too scared? And he said, no. No, we don't. It's called a bungee jump, not a bungee push, which I thought was quite clever. But then when I said I'm not doing it, he stood very firm and was like, no, you are doing it. So so 20 minutes later, I did it. And then me and Nathan Rowe ended up stone last. We were in a team together. It was tragic.
Okay, Nathan Rowe combination.
All right.
Yeah, but we did it. We finished.
You did it. You seem like this is not the best thing you've ever done.
No. We ended up running more than catching taxis.
All right.
Well, so we did commiserate with the commuters. You know, we figured out it's...
people don't understand that just this morning we were talking about how there are two rival taxi associations in Soweto that have been fighting huge battles and turf wars, and they're gangsters and it's dangerous as all hell. We forget how difficult it is for most people to get to and from work every day in South Africa.
It really is. Like,
it's horrible.
Public transport is non-existent.
Yeah. And taxis are particularly horrible because... they don't really care about the passengers.
They're not big on customer service, you know.
Not really, no. It's not their favorite area.
Haven't studied those four P's of marketing. They're just
no hashtag safety first.
Yeah. And the comedy stuff, still busy?
Comedy stuff, still busy, still going great. I'm actually starting tonight, so I'll give it a plug, but sure, it's too late to join. I've been giving a stand-up comedy masterclass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you think everyone can be a comedian?
No.
So is the first thing in your masterclass to say you will never be a comedian to at least one of them and chase them out of the room?
That would be pretty cool. No, I do a little kind of test, and then you can spot normally right away who's going to be a comedian and who's just there because they're funny at a braai.
Yeah.
But a lot of it comes down to confidence, though, doesn't it? Because everyone has like a little something about their personalities. If you can deliver it.
No, look, the thing is even if you're not going to become a comedian, it'll kind of teach you the mechanics, and like you said, it'll teach you confidence, and then it teaches you other things like presentation skills and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
How to write a joke. So you're not going to become Trevor Noah, but you'll become a lot better at, say, giving a presentation at work.
But exactly. Or, I think that's really smart, because also to be a comedian, you've got to have like quite a thick skin. Like, you've got to try something that's not going to work. That ability, I think, is priceless.
I don't know how many comedians you've met.
Well, I don't know.
Most of them are damaged and very fragile.
Yeah, but that's just it, because that's part of it. So when you teach someone, like, there's a good chance you're going to get hurt here. This isn't going to go well. And how you deal with that, I think, is a huge skill.
Yes. No, that is probably the biggest skill in comedy.
I always used to dislike interviewing comedians because of what you said a moment ago about how they were all damaged and very fragile. It only became acceptable to talk to them about that stuff recently, right? Because before, they would arrive and try and do material.
Yes, that's the best, is when young comics try and be funny all the time.
And
I love that.
They come onto a show where you're actually trying to get to know them, and then they make it about their material. It's not great. It can lead to a lot of trouble.
I was thinking exactly that when I was in London. Right. And when I landed... No, I was going to go into a bit there, but you kind of took me seriously. So I thought I'll stop.
I was like, what? Going down the London track. All right, so all of this equipment, I see people bringing in boxes and all kinds of shit. What's going on over there?
Well, because we love you at Cliff Central, we've bought you a machine, and we've bought you enough coffee to keep you guys going.
For 100 years.
For like a 100 years, and so that you don't have to touch the mud ever again.
We can go through 10 Mozambican cyclones right now.
No, let's not do that.
We don't want to, but we can because of our resources.
We could survive
it.
So, Chris, okay, Ben is the most thrilled about this because he's
hugely
begrudgingly been making himself cups of brown and then making repeated attempts to relieve himself in the bathroom subsequent to that cup of brown.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought in a different way, yeah.
Well, that too. The way you were thinking and the way I was suggesting.
I never know which way, actually.
Well, one's from a really good cup of coffee.
Sometimes Ben would crawl around on all fours from the quality of the cup of brown just to air himself out from
both sides. It's been tough times, sir. It's been tough times.
My, how you've suffered.
I have.
See, you're not a big coffee drinker.
No. I'll try this out, definitely, after hearing what.
Well, I suggest you don't do the ristretto.
Maybe start.
Maybe there's. We've got another one. Have you got
the Satinato.
Yeah, that's more the.
That's how they usually describe my skin.
That's how they ease it in.
Satinato. Ease it in, Sia.
Ease you in to it.
Sia, you can try a Satinato while you're moisturizing this morning. Sia's very big on moisturizing.
Does it describe his personality? You'll see a brief description on the side of the box.
Okay. Satinato.
On the side there, just alt.
Oh, here we go. No, it doesn't.
I'll show you.
You show me.
So over here, zesty, sumptuous. Unique.
Don't get me started on me being sumptuous.
Powerful, expressive, and ideal is the ristretto. Mm-hmm. And the Sontuoso.
I think that floral, one's for Sia.
This is, well, I don't know. This could be Sia. Floral, nutty, and uplifting.
I think that's maybe me.
Yes.
He has intense, solid, and fiery. I think that's you, Gareth.
Oh, yes. Oh. fantastic. All right, how exciting. We're going to discover our personalities anew with a little bit of coffee this morning. All
right. A bit of Law Espresso.
Law. That's L and the little apostrophe O-R.
Which means
the gold.
It means, it's gold in French. Do you see? That's why I like speaking to Gareth, because he knows everything.
Law. But it does help. I just got back from France.
That does help as well.
I've been talking to a lot of French people.
Yes.
And I'm just delighted you didn't bring a raclette machine in here. That would have been a big problem for me.
Once again,
melted stinky French cheese. Bad.
I don't know what raclette is. I thought that was like a form of sport with.
Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. We're very excited
it's
to try.
It's croquet with the rackets.
We're excited to try the Law coffee. We're going to go and have a cup of it now with Chris, and we will let you know. We'll report back to you, first of all, on social media, and then tomorrow morning too. So, Chris Forrest, always nice to see you.
Thank you. And I'm just actually excited to be here because I had load shedding, so this will be my first cup.
Well, if you'd like to have a shower. We have a shower downstairs. If you'd like to use our bogs,
hairdryers.
I'm going to move in here.
That's great. Leanne's got a hairdryer here. Yeah,
I've got some moisturizing cream.
Everything we need.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Brilliant.
All right, so Chris Forrest is here, and the coffee machine is in, and this is great news for us and all of our guests. I don't have to be embarrassed now when we have guests, important people who come in here, and they look at me when I go, "Do you want some coffee?" And then Jane says, "I'm just going to make it with this here tub of brown."
Ooh.
Now we can make them decent stuff.
Yes. It's
very exciting.
Life change.
All right. Thank you so much. We will catch you tomorrow between 6 and 8 in the morning. And we've got something exciting coming up in a little while. We've got a new series of the interviews that we did with all the most interesting attorneys in South Africa. We've put together a compilation of some of the most, I think, smart, specialist litigators in South Africa, and one of them is Charles Anser. He is at Flaxman's, and he started off in politics and lobbying, but he ended up carving out a future for himself in law, and he's a specialist in corporate mergers and acquisitions law in retail, franchise, and the mining sectors, and he's a very, very interesting dude. I spoke to him for a little while, and you get to hear that next on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.